Tom Cruise, who turns 51 in July, came of age 30 years ago when he slid across a polished floor wearing only white socks, wide fronts, a pink herringbone shirt, and a pair of Wayfarers. Doing the sort of thing many young men do when there is no one watching, pretend to be a rock star, it made Cruise a movie star, and 3 years later, Top Gun turned him into a global star.
I feel the need for speed.
For the next 16 years, his films generated such revenue, it were as if Cruise had a license to print his own currency. Not only that, those movies were highly regarded as well. Martin Scorsese's The Color of Money was followed by Barry Levinson's multi-Oscar-winning Rain Man, after which came Oliver Stone's Vietnam picture Born on the 4th of July, and that one garnered Cruise his first Academy Award nomination. Then came Days of Thunder, Far and Away, A Few Good Men, The Firm, and Interview with a Vampire. In 1996, he started his own highly lucrative franchise, Mission Impossible. And incredibly, in the same year, he starred in Jerry Maguire, which secured him his second Oscar nomination. Then in 1999, he worked with Stanley Kubrick on Eyes Wide Shut. And just as the millennium came to an end, he capped an incredible run by delivering another Oscar-nominated performance in Magnolia. Was that his peak? His character certainly wasn't what we expected.
Respect the cock. And tame the cunt. Tame it. Take it on head first with the skills that I will teach you at work and say, Noah!
No!
You will not control me! Noah!
No!
You will not take my soul! Noah!
No!
You will not win this game! Because it is a game, guys. You want to think it's not, huh? You want to think it's not? You go back to the schoolyard and you have that crush on big-titted Mary Jane. Respect the cock.
Of all those films I've mentioned, there are, I think, a couple of common and crucial denominators. Strong directors with their own unique styles, and more importantly, a view of the world and an individual's position in it. Tony Scott, Ron Howard, Martin Scorsese, Barry Levinson, Oliver Stone, Rob Reiner, Sidney Pollack, Neil Jordan, Brian De Palma, Stanley Kubrick, and Paul Thomas Anderson. All A-list directors. And just as importantly, until 1999, strong actors either in support or in opposition. Paul Newman in The Color of Money and Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man, both of whom won Oscars opposite Cruise, Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men, who was nominated, and then there was Gene Hackman in The Firm. Notice another pattern? Young star, older star. Cruise's character is mentored by a trusted veteran. The first time Cruise went out on his own was in Jerry Maguire, which, curiously, was written specifically for Tom Hanks. Hanks said no, and Cruise seized the script with both hands, and he succeeded brilliantly. Why? Because the character of Jerry Maguire starts out losing. He struggles as he loses some more, and in the end, he doesn't win, he merely survives. And that's the simple but often overlooked truth about the best Hollywood movies. We admire a character more for their trying, and trying more, than we do for their successes.
I will not rest until I have you holding a Coke, wearing your own shoe, playing a Sega game, featuring you while singing your own song in a new commercial starring you, broadcast during the Super Bowl in a game that you are winning, and I will not sleep until that happens.
It's what I do best.
Give me 15 minutes to call me back.
The best moments in any Tom Cruise performance comes when his world gives way and he is left alone. To see what I mean, watch three scenes in particular. The first, from Born on the 4th of July, the true story of Ron Kovic, who volunteered to serve as a US Marine in Vietnam. Kovic is shot in the spine and is told he would never walk again. Ron Kovic is a character whose identity resides solely in his physical ability, and now that he is paralyzed, he is suddenly forced to ask himself the question, who am I now?
I serve my country, and I don't want you to feel sorry for me. Do not shed a tear. I have my hands, my eyes, my ears, I have my heart,
And I have what I feel is an unquenchable.
Something similar happens in Jerry Maguire when Jerry is fired. He is sitting in a restaurant and his face freezes as he realizes the sum of all his fears. Jerry defines himself through his work, and now that he has lost his job, his identity is stripped away, and suddenly he is stricken with the terrifying question, who am I now?
If anybody else wants to come with me, this moment will be the moment of something real and fun and inspiring in this God-forsaken business, and we will do it together. Who's coming with me? Who's coming with me? Who's coming with me? Who's coming with me besides Flipper here?
The third example of this is in Magnolia, as TJ Maxey is confronted by the TV interviewer and she asks him about his father. Cruz's face begins to freeze because, again, his identity is being stripped away. Or, more accurately, the persona that TJ Maxey has constructed, that facade, is ripped down. TJ, whose real name is Frank Partridge, defines himself through this construct, a seducer and destroyer of women. Suddenly, that construct crumbles and he is throttled by the terror, who am I now?
I was told that your mother died, Frank.
That's what you heard.
Do you remember Miss Sims?
No.
Well, I talked to Miss Sims, your neighbor and caretaker after your mother died in 1980. And in my research, I have you listed as the only son of Earl and Lily Partridge.
What I'm saying is, at his best, Tom Cruise has played young men in crisis. But somewhere along the way, two things happened. One, the audience grew up. And two, Tom didn't. Instead, his characters now show all the signs of arrested development. They are never forced to confront themselves. So although he looks great for a man of his age, that's the problem. Tom is not his age, and he has not been for at least a dozen years. He has reduced himself to little more than an action figure. Tom looks, Tom lurks, Tom leaps, Tom shoots, Tom scores, Tom wins. And for all that winning, Tom Cruise is being defeated by his own success. At some point in his career, he opted for the more financially lucrative, but less creatively challenging films. By which I mean, he took the route that has boxed him in. Mission Impossible 2, 3, and 4 may have put money in the bank, but in terms of stretching himself as an actor, not only has he taken in the likes of Vanilla Sky, The Last Samurai, Night and Day, Rock of Ages, Jack Reacher, and Oblivion, but a fifth Mission Impossible is in the works. That's not to say that all the films he has made since 1999 are weak. Minority Report is terrific. War of the Worlds has its strengths, as does Collateral. But the engines behind those films were the directors Steven Spielberg and Michael Mann. By way of contrast, consider George Clooney. He's just turned 52. He starred in Ocean's 11, and that was fun. Yes, there were sequels, but Clooney used them as leverage to make Good Night and Good Luck. In that same year, he took a supporting role in Syriana, for which he won his first Oscar. Since then, he has starred in Michael Clayton. He co-wrote and directed The Ides of March, and he has just completed directing The Monuments Men. In The Monuments Men, he acts alongside Matt Damon. Let's look at Damon. He is 42 and also did the Ocean's pictures. He won an Oscar for writing Good Will Hunting. He starred in The Talented Mr. Ripley, The Good Shepherd, The Departed, and thundered through what is for me the greatest ever action franchise, the Bourne series, which had originally been offered to Brad Pitt. Now, let's look at him. He was in the Ocean's franchises as well, and he is 49, so think about these films. 7. Fight Club. The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. Moneyball. All of those films I've mentioned have benefited from strong ideas, strong directors, and strong casts. Now, back to Clooney. He won his second Oscar back in March for serving as one of the producers on Argo. That film was directed by Ben Affleck. Yes, Ben Affleck of Armageddon, Pearl Harbor, and Geely. But remember, Affleck had already won an Oscar for co-writing Good Will Hunting. So, it's not too late for Tom Cruise. He once played a guy called Maverick. Time again for the real thing.